All right, it is a blessing to have the Cox family with us tonight. Brother Cox serves the Lord in a unique ministry, the people he's called to, and thankful for his faithfulness. If there was a opportunity to get maybe weary with conflict that he has to deal with on a regular basis, Venezuela would be the place. And I'm thankful that he didn't quit, he didn't give up, and they're still faithful there, and God has given them guidance and direction. So, Brother Cox, why don't you come? You can just turn your mic on, and then you can talk with that one, okay? All right. Okay.
It is on. Yes? Yeah, there you go. All right, so I'm Justin Cox, and that's my wife Evelyn in the back, and we are the church planting medical missionaries to the Venezuelan people. So we are... we started out to go to Venezuela, and last time I was here, Brother Russo, how long have you been pastor? 5 years, 6 years?
In June it'll be 5 years.
5 years. So 6 years ago, I was here before I was married. And but now we're married, and we have two little boys, Matthias, who is turning 5 next month, and then Nehemiah, who is only 3 years old. And so we are called to the country of Venezuela, or at least to the Venezuelan people. If you're not familiar with the country of Venezuela, it went through a huge economic crisis in the past 10 years, okay? And in 2018, that crisis kind of hit its climax and the economy collapsed. That means all the banks collapsed, everything in the country collapsed. Anybody who had money left the country, and including criminals. Like, even a lot of the criminals left the country because they had money. But everybody else was left to suffer there. And they had a mass exodus, which became the greatest humanitarian refugee issue in the world, humanitarian crisis in the world at that time. And a lot of people got involved. American Red Cross got involved. Samaritan's Purse got involved. Everybody you can think of got involved to try and work out this situation. But that resulted in 30% of the country's population leaving. They're gone. Okay, that's over 12 million people that have left the country of Venezuela. Most of those people have gone to the country of Colombia. Actually, 2.7 million plus have gone to the country of Colombia. And when they get to another country, just like when they come to America, they're coming in illegally because they're not coming in legally, right? They're coming in illegally. So they have no way to do anything. They can't buy food. They don't have cards that work at banks. They just don't have any of these abilities. Because remember, all of your bank cards that you use in America are tied to American banks. And that's only works because our banks are open, but their banks closed. So they had no money. It's just gone overnight. All their money, everything they worked for, gone overnight. And we see doctors, and we've met several doctors who are physicians in Venezuela that are doing street work in Colombia, in Trinidad, in the Dominican Republic. And I've been to some of these places, seen these people. And praise the Lord. So God has led us to reach those people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when I met my wife, we decided to finish deputation right around 2020. Then the pandemic kind of happened. And then the end of the year, we were able to fly out and out of the United States and do a couple months of language school. And then that is about the time that I started getting phone calls. Phone calls from missionaries all over South America, mainly Central and South America, about coming to help them with the Venezuelan population, refugee population in their areas, from Trinidad, from Dominican Republic, and from the island of Aruba, from Colombia, from Peru. These countries, they're flooding into these cities, and they're on the streets. They're literally driving the crime up insanely high because they can't work, so they're going to steal everything that they possibly can, and that's what they're doing. So while they are in this state where they left their country, it's a prime opportunity, the perfect opportunity to witness to them. Because most of these Venezuelans have left their country with nothing more than a suitcase full of clothes. Now, some of them tried to take more. But when Venezuela shut down in 2018 and people tried to really leave, the military put up checkpoints on the road and then they blocked the border and they closed the border 100%. But when the Venezuelans had to go to the military checkpoints, the soldiers didn't have any command. what would you say, call that, like chain of command, kind of fell apart, all right? Because the chain of command fell apart because none of the soldiers could pay for their own way either. So they started taking everything they could that was of value from the people, the refugees that were moving out of the country, and then leaving them with whatever was left to go on. And so by the time they got out of the country, most of them just had one suitcase with clothes in it. And then they arrived to this new place, a language, a world that they don't even know, especially when they go to places like Trinidad and speak English. They don't speak English. So they speak Spanish. So because of this situation, God has led us originally to the country of Venezuela, which we still are, if there's anybody left there. But I had to answer this question in my heart. Am I called to a land or am I called to a people? And I talked to Pastor Jerry Alford that has been in Venezuela for 38 years now, started 16 churches, and is still there. And he told me, he says, Justin, we cannot get any medication here in the country. If you can find Tylenol, one Tylenol pill is one U.S. dollar. And one U.S. dollar is worth 1.7 million pesos, basically, which is called bolivars in their currency. We say, what's that like? A hot dog there is about four U.S. dollars. And it's very, very expensive for them, very expensive. So that means that if you, I don't even know how to do the math on that. It's like so expensive. It's just crazy for them. But that's the case, right? I watched somebody go in and try and buy a bag of chips that they had there, and he had to bring in, he was bringing in backpacks full of their currency just to buy a bag of chips because it was just that, it's just worthless. You can see videos online of people taking their currency and sewing it into blankets because it's so worthless. And so that's kind of what's going on there right now. So instead of going to Venezuela to help Pastor Jerry, I went to, God called us to work with the refugees right on the border of Colombia, Venezuela, and we were able to ship medicine and Bibles and a computer and New Testaments in Spanish that have the helps in them. That was a big one for us, getting lots of those and raising money for that, and then shipping all those into Venezuela so that way Pastor Jerry could stay in Venezuela along with other pastors to witness to the people who are still left in Venezuela while we work in right there on the border between Venezuela and Colombia. We're actually in Venezuela last year, but that's not legal, so we can't talk any more about that. So it's illegal. It's illegal being Venezuela as an American. You get 2 years prison sentence minimum if you get caught. So that's just what's going on there. But so while we were there, I went to Colombia. We arrive in Colombia to work with Pastor Aaron Vance, and he looks at me and says, hey, Brother Justin, it just so happens that I have to go on furlough, so I will see you next year. So his family got up and left, and we were there to run his church, Agape, and work with Agape and train in Agape, and you'll see that in the video. And then when I was there, we found out that there was this building that they bought a long time ago in this area called Cafe Madrid. And during the pandemic, it shut down. The pastor left. There was nobody there. It was in the poorest part of the city. And I said, well, hey, listen, we came here to start churches. So let's get some people together. We got an institute. Let's grab these people. Let's get a team together. And we started Iglesia Biblica Bautista Cafe Madrid. And that is running now. We have about 14 adults and 70 children that we feed every week. It has, all the criminals live in this area of the city. Because of that, most of the parents get killed, all right, out on the street doing criminal activity. So the kids are left alone, and they're like orphans. So when you'll see that in the video. So we're working in this area, Cafe Madrid, and that's the people that we're reaching right now down there. Now, when it comes to Venezuela, our entire team is Venezuelan. Our national pastor is Venezuelan. Our assistant pastor is Venezuelan. We got another Venezuelan family working with us there. Like, it's really strange that when the churches close in Venezuela, there's no members. Everybody leaves. The pastors decided to come to Colombia, so now they're working with us, and then they stay with us about a year, and then we'll use them to go out and plant churches. So, like, Venezuela is literally church planting the country of Colombia right now. Yeah. It's incredible how God is working in this ministry. So, but that's what's going on. And we had about eight people since January get saved in the church. And then we had a big drug addictions program, problem in the church. And so last month I took the RU program from the United States. added some salvation stuff to that, and then translated that into Spanish, and that is our midweek service now that you'll see in the video, is the addictions program. And so we're getting people help with that, because getting people who are saved, everybody knows Colombia is very affiliated with cocaine, right? That was cocaine capital of the world, all right? If you grew up in the 70s, you know all about cocaine in Colombia, all right? Well, you say, why is that a big deal? Because 90% of that drug comes from this country, okay? And it's a huge thing down there as far as moving it and how most people make their money. Just like coffee in the U.S., by the way, the number one producer of coffee in the world is also Colombia. So just something to think about. So because cocaine is so accessible in the country, a lot of people use it, all right? And so we had to start a program that was beyond salvation, we'll say that, right? Beyond salvation to help people in their day-to-day lives to get back to society. And so that's what I just finished, and that's what we started here. So we'll play the video, and then we'll start in Acts 14. Thank you.
I'm missionary Justin Cox, and my family and I are called to reach the Venezuelan people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Venezuela, named the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela since 1999, is located on the northern coast of South America. The country comprises a continental mainland and numerous islands in the Caribbean Sea. With a population of 31 million in the country, the largest city is Caracas and also the capital. Roman Catholicism is the dominant religion with 96%. Venezuela is known widely for its petroleum industry and has the largest proven oil reserve in the world. In the midst of one of the largest economic disasters in recent history, the food and medical shortages and political turmoil have left this country in a perilous state.
Currently working with missionary Aaron Vance in Bucaramanga, where I've been able to teach a leadership class on Mondays and fill in for preaching when needed. We have seen many people saved and baptized through this ministry here at Iglesia Biblica Bautista Agape. We've had blood drive Sundays every quarter, and we've also been able to have medical missions outreach come in every other year to help us reach souls for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We are so excited to be serving and reaching Venezuelans in South America. I have been able to teach the children's class on Wednesday nights and to teach at our women's conference, along with many other activities the Lord has given us to do. The Lord blessed me with the ability to go to school and to get my bachelor's degree in nursing. Since then, I have been able to take several medical missions trips to El Progreso, Honduras, and also to Alto Trujillo, Peru. During those trips, the Lord blessed us greatly, and we were able to treat thousands of people physically. We were also able to lead those precious souls on a one-on-one gospel presentation that led to 170 people accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, I am able to use this gift that the Lord has given us to help the children at our new church project in Cafe Madrid.
Cafe Madrid is located on the north side of the city of Bucaramanga and is a very dangerous location. There are actually more people under the age of 18 than there are over the age of 18. This has been due to the violence in the gangs in the area. The city is divided into gang territories and shanty towns, where most houses are made from scraps and garbage. Many houses have dirt floors and crime is not investigated. This is where we launched our current work, Iglesia Biblica Bautista Cafe Madrid. Here, we hold Bible studies, church services, and feed over 70 children every single Sunday. For many of these children, this is the only meal that they will eat for the entire day on Sunday. This church building had a lot of water damage and needed a new roof. We want to thank all of you who gave to this project and provided a place where we can continue reaching people through prayer, Bible studies, and using medical missions outreach. We want to thank you for all of your prayers and financial support that you have provided. And we need your help to continue feeding these children and reaching Venezuelans with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, I'd like to say thank you to the church and Pastor Russo for having us. I could do this without the pulpit. It's very, very evangelical, but I can make it happen. No, I'm just joking. I was a quality engineer for about 10 years in Michigan and 8 years as an engineer up in Boyne City, Michigan. So we had to do a lot of talking, conferences and stuff, so not a big deal. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we'll get started in just a moment. Acts chapter 14. Close enough. Praise the Lord. Just a note up here says glory.
Yeah, that's right.
Glory! Hey, man. Definitely not that tall. Praise the Lord. So Acts chapter 14. And we're just going to stay here this evening as we look through verses 1 through 7 in Acts chapter 14. So in our text here, we have Paul and Barnabas, and they're traveling to Iconium to preach the gospel to both the Jews and the Gentiles at the same time. Because this is right after, the time of Pentecost and kind of people, the gospel's starting to go out, but basically to only the Jews. And this is the first time, actually, in Scripture that they say, hey, listen, the Gentiles are on the same level as the Jews, and they really need to get the gospel the same way that the Jews should get the gospel. So we see Paul and Barnabas, they travel to Iconium to preach the gospel to both at the same time, and they're met with opposition. What else is new in the world? But that's the case. So let's pick up right here in Acts chapter 14. I'll begin reading in verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. A long time, therefore, abode," that's a great word study right there, abode, aboding with Christ, to stay and dwell, "they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." In verse 4, "But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when they were... And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel." Let's pray. Father, we come before you through your Son, Jesus Christ, the only way that we possibly can, Lord, to thank you for this wonderful time that we get to spend together, this opportunity that we get to come before you, and thank you for your word. And I just pray that your words will speak through me unto the hearts of your people, Lord, and just help me to stay out of your way, that we would not just leave challenged tonight, but changed and more like you. In your Son's name I pray, Jesus Christ, amen. Point number one tonight is the work of the believer. If you take notes, the title of this sermon is The Mission of the Believer, The Mission of the Believer. Point number one is the work of the believer. Someone must go. In verse one, and that's what we're going to do. We're just going to walk down these verses right now this evening. In verse one, we see that they went. Somebody must go. You know, missions comes down to go missions, co-missions, those who work, hold the ropes, support, pray, do all those things. Sometimes they do temporary missions trips and help out. And then there's no missions, right? Those who are not doing anything. But go missions, co-missions, and no missions. There's those that are willing to give it all, and then there's those that are willing to let them. And that's really how it works. But Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how can they hear from a preacher or a person unless that person is sent?" Right? We see that somebody must go. I often say that when you get serious about souls, God will get serious about his servant. When we have a lot of problems in our life, we complain about those problems sometimes to God. But God is focused on souls. He loves us. He'll take care of us. And he promised over 6,000 things directly from God to man. It's like 6,700 and something promises in the Bible. Just from God to man. But yet, God is focused on souls. He's focused on souls. And we need to be serious and focused on souls. So they went. We also see that they didn't just go, but they applied themselves. It says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake." So they didn't just go and stand around. They applied themselves. You know, God's given us a lot of talents. My wife and I, who's not in here anymore, okay? No, that's fine. So my wife, just give her a break. We are expecting our third child, probably our last child, but it's our third child, amen, which will be her third C-section. So pray about that. And so we'll see how that goes. But so she's not around a lot because she's always sick. And I'm just like, get over it. No, I'm not like that. I swear, I'm not like that. So, No, but they, you know, the Paul and Barnabas, they went, right? They went, they were devoted, and they applied themselves. But God has blessed us with a lot of talents. I went to school for business, and before I went to school for theology, you know, I'm a master painter. I know accounting. I was a quality engineer for 8 years. I'm a first responder. I'm on the level of EMT, emergency medical technician. My wife is a critical care nurse. And then hopefully we'll be a nurse practitioner at some point in the next like 10 years, trying to push her to continue that, a family nurse practitioner, mainly because that's the role that is most needed on the mission field, right? Somebody, she can prescribe meds with the MMO and stuff right now, but really do that whole family care. And then right now she does a lot of, I can't think of the name, but like prayer for pregnancies and then right after pregnancies, okay? I want to say prenatal care. That's what that's called, right? But she does a lot of that right now in Colombia with the lack of resources that they have. In America, we know a lot of drugs, a lot of medications. And down there, they have things, but they have no idea what it's they're supposed to take. So it gets interesting. But so it's one of the roles that she actually fills very well and helps with. So they applied themselves, right? We have talents that we get to use for Jesus Christ, right? I was in the bus ministry, the jail ministry, and nursing home ministry, and just so many different things in the past. And now we get the ability to go and work right there, literally building churches physically, as you saw in the video with the water damage. And that we actually ripped off the entire roof and then most of the second floor. And we have a little tiny building. Wow, this room's way bigger than our building. And then it's very small, but it has three little floors. And so that's how that's working out. And God allowed us to use those talents to work for him. And medical missions is one of them. So they went. They applied themselves. And then we see that they went in verse 1 together, right? It's biblical. It's biblical to go together. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together. I feel that most missionaries come off the field, they say, because of discouragement than anything else right now in the world. I know that there's other causes of that, especially modern-day missions, right? Since 2020, we know 9 families personally that have were not returning to the field, 9 missionary families, so for whatever reason. But those are families that aren't there anymore. Those are locations, right, that I know 2 of them that they no longer have a church. So it's important that we go together. Fellowship is probably one of the greatest things in the Bible. It's one of the greatest things in our Christian life. Fellowship here, yeah, right? Why we go to church, the people that we hang out with, the barbecues, whatever we're doing, right? And it's the same on the mission field. To be able to develop real fellowship on a mission field, that'll change somebody's life. That'll keep a missionary on the field. And so we see biblically here that they went both together. Now, I surrendered to work with Pastor Jerry in Maracay, Venezuela. And that is probably still in the future where we're going to go. And then hopefully to the far side of the country of Venezuela, to 2 cities, Ciudad Bolivar and Ciudad Guayana, which are both in Venezuela, even though Guyana's right there and there's a city called that, that are about 500,000 people each and they have no church, no churches. You say, what about evangelicals? None. What about Protestant? None. They have only Roman Catholic churches there. They have no gospel. It doesn't matter how you put it. What you want to say doesn't exist. So, because of that, that was the plan, and I think that God is prepping us right now to get everything done, so when that door opens in the future, before I die, I will plant those 2 churches. Or I will pay for somebody else to go and plant those 2 churches, right? But that's the goal. That's always the goal. So they went together, okay? Now, I got to hurry, because that guy gave me $20, so that way we'd be done soon. All right, the point number two in verse number 2, the focus of the believer, right? The focus of the believer. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. You know, there's always going to be issues when you're trying to do anything. I know people say for Christ, but I really feel like anything in life. But this is the case here in Scripture, and it's a case when we went that, like, the problems compound as you go international. They just get worse and worse and worse. We had to go down there almost 2 years ago now, right? And to get an apartment. And I went by myself first for 30 days to find an apartment. And I found out you have to have a sponsor, just like the United States. You got to have a sponsor. You cannot buy a car, an apartment, anything, unless somebody there who's an actual Colombian or Venezuelan will sign off, depending on what side of the border you're on, will sign off. And basically like a co-loan, like a co-signer on your loan. They have to co-sign for you to get an apartment. They have to co-sign for you to do a lot of things. And so that became a headache. And so that was one problem. Then I found out that if you get a bank account, you go in the bank, you open a bank account, you have to wait 6 months to use it. You can't even use it. So I have a bank card and I have this bank account that I can't use. And they said, like, what are you going to do? And they said, put some money in the bank. Well, I can't use it. Why would I put money in a bank if I can't use it? And they're like, well, you have to put some money in a bank. So I did. It wasn't a lot. It was like $500 that I put in there. And it sat for 6 months before I could start actually using that card and actually putting a lot of money in there so we could live off of paying the bills with that card. Again, something that's just different than the United States. But you got to stay focused. You got to stay real focused, right? 96% Roman Catholic, right? There's a lot of Catholics down there all over the place. It was all about Roman Catholics. Now we're starting to see the trend like you see in America where it's just no church, right? You have a lot of younger people. You have people my age. You have people older, younger, that just don't go to church at all. It doesn't matter what denomination it is. So we're facing that a little bit and working to do that. So in the midst of the battle, a soldier must remain focused. Proverbs 29, 9 and 10 says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. They keep the main thing. You know, we're not down there to do humanitarian aid work, even though we do a lot of that. We're there to reach souls. That's what we do. Point number 3, verse 3, the determination of the believer. Verse 3, let's look at it in our text. It says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, check this out, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. Let me ask you this. Does your testimony speak about the grace of God? Oh, yeah, God's blessed me. He's blessed me a lot. He's blessed me a lot in my life. He's blessed me in all these different things. Yeah, but what about when you talk to other people? Does God's testimony, is that the example when you talk about your testimony to other people? If you talk about your testimony as everything in your life, somebody says, wow, man, God's really done a lot for you. Are we putting him first? Are we exalting him, right? If we do it with our actions on a day-to-day basis, it'll build up to being the only past that we have. There's no way I can talk about my past without talking about Jesus Christ. There's just no way. I've literally tried to get around it, and I can't because it's so interwoven into my past. So, which is a good thing. But that's how we want our life to be. And they have food rations down there, power rations. Oh, that was so funny. We get down there. This is 2013. I was in Venezuela in 09 and in 13. And I find out that at 6 p.m.-ish, they turn electricity off. And it stays off all night till 6 a.m. And then they turn it on so you can take a shower and get ready and go to work. And that's just normal. And that's what the government does. They also have a society that dictates when you go to bed like that. They have a number for everything that you need, and that number for me is a passport number. So if you go to the store, doesn't matter if you have cash, doesn't matter. You want to buy gum, they don't have gum, but let's say you want to buy some chips or something, and some cookies, they got Oreos, they're like a fake brand. You buy some Oreos, they say Oreo, but they don't taste like Oreos, okay? So you buy these Oreos, and you put it on the counter, they're going to say, what's your number? What's your number? You got to take that number and type it into the register to unlock the register so you can buy it. The government tracks 100% of the transactions. So that is how it works, right? Because they're communists, right? Now, Venezuela doesn't say that. They say they're socialist. And by the way, Colombia, their neighbor, just voted in this last November the first socialist president ever, all right, for their country as well. So that's kind of the trend down there. But we know what happened to the economy because that's what happens. So you got to have a number. They track everything, right? But the determination is to seek the souls of the lost. To seek the souls of the lost. That's what we do. Verse 4, the opposition of the believer's mission. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, in part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. There was a falling away, a division. There will always be opposition to the gospel being preached and souls being saved. Why? Because the devil is real. The devil tempted Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, I believe, yes, verses 1 through 11. So why do we think that he won't tempt us, right? And more than that, the devil, like, you'd be amazed. I would be surprised if the devil ever tempts somebody more than once in their life. You go, really? Yeah. Why? Because the devil's not your greatest enemy. Your flesh is. Your flesh is, right? The greatest enemy is myself, right? The flesh is real. Our deadly, worldly, carnal flesh wants to hold on. And then the problem is with the flesh is that it builds memories. And then those memories go into your brain and you can't get rid of them. Yeah. And now you have to live the rest of your life with the decisions that you made in the past, right? So it's easy to say like, oh man, the devil's doing this. But a lot of that is probably consequences that I'm getting because of decisions that I made, right? I am my greatest enemy. And the Bible kind of sheds light on that, right? that's why we get up every day and read the Bible. That's why we get up every day and try to listen to Christian music. That's why every day, you know, we try to be encouraged and do the things that we're supposed to and change and make a difference in somebody's life is because if I don't, you know, I got to live with that. So the other thing is that there's opposition because hell is real. Nobody wants to face the reality that they're going to die and go to hell here in America or even down there. We get this church started in Iglesia Biblica Bautista Cafe Madrid. That might seem like a lot to you, but that's just how we say it. Bible Baptist Church, okay? It's a biblical Baptist church. We put the word biblical in there because it helps people distinguish like what kind of church we are because they don't know what this is. The churches these days are getting real strange with the names, as you guys know. We have like the real church. It's a thing called the real church, okay? All right, there's a real church. So that's just interesting how some of the church names are. But so we want to be very clear. But so we started this church and Cafe Madrid, and not in Madrid, Spain, in Madrid, down there. So, and literally 2 months later, somebody comes by and breaks the windows on the first floor. And they took a rope. We have bars on the bottom. And you'll see when you update the mission letter, no offense, but no, on the bottom of the next mission letter, it has a picture of the building, and you can see it, right? The current one. But they we have bars on the bottom, and they broke the windows and took a rope and threw the bars that are like literally, I don't know, maybe 8 inches. They got to be less than 8 inches. They used a rope, and they stole a music stand, the curtains. What else did they take? They took the glass off the top of the pulpit. Like, really? Because we have this, like, little piece of wood pulpit, and they took the glass off the top. Very interesting. All with this rope between the bars. Like, they like, did it, you know, yeah, very cowboy. Yeah, very, that's how they did it. And so then we replaced the windows, and I said, that's it. We're going to put in laminated. I tried to do acrylic, but it was very expensive. Because I said, I'll just acrylic the whole thing. It'll go bulletproof. It'll just acrylic the whole thing. But it was way expensive. It was like $200 per square foot. So we did instead, I did laminated glass. It was like $60. We did laminated glass sheets so that you could hit with a hammer and they won't break. And then they're one-way tinted. So you can't see in, but we can see out where we're in the church. So we replaced those and did that project. And but anyway, there's going to be opposition, right? I mean, we start this church, this community, it's a big deal, everybody should be happy. We put lights on the outside of the church like 2 months ago, and the neighbors across are very excited and happy because it's very dangerous, and now they can sit outside and play games on tables out in front of their house because the church is paying for the electricity, I guess. And so they're very excited about it. They're very excited about it. But you know, there's just going to be opposition there, you know. They came by, and we had to replace the windows right after we started this project. And but it didn't stop us, and in a community like this, we put up the lights, and I put up four cameras, and there was only two people in the entire community that own a ladder tall enough to put up the lights. So I said, well, don't worry about it. If somebody steals them, we know who it was. Yeah. And there's only two people got a ladder that's even that tall. So it's just how it is. It's just things that happen on a mission field. Let's look at verse 6 and 7 here, and we'll get done here. It says, the mission of the believer, right? Point number 5, the mission of the believer. Verse 6 says, they were aware of it, that they were going to be stoned, right? So God, he led them in a different direction. It says, they were aware of it and fled. This is Paul and Barnabas unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonian, unto the region that lieth round about. They fled not because they were scared. We know that because Paul gets stoned, right, in the next chapter, right? But he left because the Holy Spirit led them. And sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us in a different direction. Like I said, we were going to go to Venezuela, and the Holy Spirit said, through using people, said, hey, listen, you can go there, but you're going to die, okay? Not just because of the security issue now, which it was before, but now because of health. You can't eat, and you can't buy any kind of medication, and then you have some problems. So now we're right on the border of Venezuela, and we can cross back and forth between Venezuela and Colombia, and we're about, 15 minutes from the International Hospital. Now, I don't know if you know this, but our youngest son is very allergic to, like, almost every food, like nuts, milk. He's allergic to dairy. He's allergic to wheat and then eggs. So I don't know, he eats lettuce. No, I'm just, we try to find stuff for him, but it's like specialized food that has, most of it's homemade. Lucky I married a wife who is a goat farmer, and so she can make a lot of things. And but if there's a problem, I have to carry 4 EpiPens all the time. So, and we use them about once a year. But so far, he's still around, and we're happy about it, and it's going well. It's a kind of deal, right? You drop him off in the church nursery, it's like, have you ever used an EpiPen before, you know? Are you certified to do this? Are you certified to do that? If there's a problem, you know what? We'll just sit outside the door. No. it's okay. It's okay. But, you know, so sometimes God leads in a different way, and we just follow his leading, right? Matthew 28, 19, 20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In verse 7, it says that Paul and Barnabas went there and preached the gospel. Luke 19, 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. When's the last time we started seeking souls? Not just waiting for them to come to us, but seeking souls, right? John 3:16, we know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you're like, Brother Cox, these are all typical missionary type verses, right? We know it. We know it. Okay, well, remember, it's hard to hand out a gospel tract when you don't have one. We know the scripture. We know what we're supposed to do, but it's really hard to do it when we're not prepared, okay? So we do ask that, you know, as you come up and you guys continue to pray for your missionaries and do things for your missionaries, you know, I encourage you, do a little more. Do a little more. You say, what's a little more? Well, a little more is like when you're eating Oreos and you got the package out and you get done close to the end of the row and there's like four left and you're like, I could do a little more. Yeah. I can do a little more, all right? It's only four more. Amen. Amen. So I'll leave you with this question tonight. Do your actions and behavior tell you that, tell God that you love him? Do your actions and behavior tell God that you love him? You know, I'm married, I say now, I guess 6 years this year, but yet now, praise the Lord for that. That actually took a lot of work, and you got to like put in a lot of work, and then you got to make a decision and do it, and then you're like, then we got to have kids, and that's work, and then it's just work until you die. Man, it's just crazy. I'm just saying, I'm not going to give you false expectations over here, okay? I'm not going to give you, you don't want me to teach, you're young people, you're young people, if I ever have to train teenagers, like again, they know right up front, like what you're getting into, okay? Life does not get easier, so you know, saddle up, right? It's time to go. That's why, no, the truth is, that's why preparation is so important. That's why preparation and, like, working to prepare for things is so important, right? And with my wife, right, if my wife ever came up to me and asked me, like, do you love me? I think we'd agree that's a problem. That's a problem. My wife should never have to ask me if I love her. Not only should I tell her that I love her, but my actions should show her that I love her, right? It should be pretty, I would hope that it's pretty obvious. It should be the same way with our Savior, right? I want God to look down and say, I know that Brother Cox, that Justin Cox loves me because I can tell by his actions, right? And that's what we need. You know, I don't know what God is calling you to do. Sometimes I try not to use that word calling in certain ways because we always say, oh, you know, you need to be called to do this. You need to be called to do that. You know, remember that in mission work, it's not about the calling. We're not called, we're commanded. They said go. That's a command. That's not, I'm going to wait to be called to be a missionary. No, we're commanded to be a missionary locally first. So I want to leave with this. Are you going to be a go missionary, a co-missionary, or a no missionary? The decision is yours. The decision is yours. As you leave tonight, you get to make the decision. Are you going to be a go missionary, a co-missionary, or a no missionary? And I'll leave this one last thing before I walk away. Sometimes you get discouraged, right? Only because you want encouragement. No, you get discouraged. And you know, I don't know. It's hard to get discouraged right now because the weather's turning. So it's like really exciting. Especially in the state of New York, it's really exciting. But, you know, there's days where you're just like, man, I don't know. Like, I worked. I did everything I was supposed to. I read my Bible. I did everything I was supposed to. But maybe I'm just not very happy. I don't know how to explain it. And on those days, I always just try to go out, even if I don't plan on going out, just go out and hand out a gospel tract. Because if I can just hand out a gospel tract, I don't care if you go through the drive-thru of a fast food place or you go to check out somewhere at a grocery store, just because you know that if you handed out that gospel tract, then that day you made a difference. It's proven. You made a difference. And be happy about that. Be happy about the fact that today I made a difference no matter what. All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you. Hello, Father. Lord, as we're here this evening, I just want to pray and ask you to just work in our hearts, Lord, that we would yield to you. Make sure we're not on the throne of our hearts, Lord, but that you're on the throne of our hearts and that you're leading us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you protect us from ourselves, and just guide us and lead us, that as you commanded us to go and tell others about you and make a difference in other people's lives, that you would encourage us. I pray, Lord, that you equip the people in this church, not just spiritually, Lord, but physically, and encourage them that they would not just think about it, but literally be able to do it and do it well, Lord, for your glory. And as we leave tonight, I pray that we're not just challenged tonight, that we're changed tonight, that that this message would go with us, and that we'd make it home or wherever we have to go safely, guided by you, as we look forward to this week. That this week we would make a decision, not in this week, Lord, but now, that we're going to hand out some tracts this week. We're going to tell somebody about Christ. And may you just lead those people to us, that we can do this all in your name and for your glory. And we ask this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Heard the message tonight? Do your actions and behavior say that you love God? The kids sang, did I mention that I loved him? It's one thing to say it. That's a good start. But do your actions say it? Not just your words, do your actions. What are you going to do with missions? Are you going to go? God, I'm willing. That's where it starts. Are you willing? Are you going to physically leave this place and go and maybe be a faithful missionary in your neighborhood, in your area? You're going to commit to working with other missionaries. Hey, they're from Western New York. Now they're in Columbia. Well, I'm going to work. I'm going to work here. I'm going to be faithful here. I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm going to give to missions to help the Cox family stay on the field. Or are you just, no, I'm not part of any of this. The Lord is part of that. The Lord has a heart for missions. So how do you know? Because he is the first missionary. He left his home and came to us. How about you tonight? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful to what you've called us to do. Lord, bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?